I like whenever Brother Ian comes up here, he says, "Good morning. Good morning." Yeah, I like that. See, because he himself mentioned many times, good God, our Father is on the throne. And he is always good, all the time. And thankfully, he is not taken leave from his office today. He's on the throne and he is mighty. And he loves us, he cares for us. And what I see when Brother Ian, whenever Brother Ian says that, whenever I see Brother Ian and look at him sharing, I see a man, man of faith. Even Brother Zach, I remember them. See, beyond their words, there is a life which backs them. A life of faith. God honors faith. A true faith. Even though they are aged. And I have seen them last 27 or 28 years consistently. And that gives an encouragement to pursue that kind of faith which produces life. See, we read here, I was thinking about this verse in Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their way of life, imitate their faith. See, what that faith has produced, there is a faith which they have received from the Lord. Faith is a gift of God. And that faith, here it says, made them to lead you and speak the word of God to you. And considering their way of life, the result of their life, there is a result which comes through this kind of life. But what I'm burdened is, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. See, Peter also experienced this faith which was in Jesus Christ. And all the apostles experienced that faith through the Holy Spirit. But that faith produced certain kind of life. And then they lived that life. And they wrote, when Peter was writing this second epistle, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. See, what really remained in my heart was where he says, a faith of the same kind as ours. He's writing to people who have received the faith that is the same kind of as ours. In that sense, what he is saying, there are so many other faiths which he is referring to. That there are many other faiths which may not result good life. People have different kind of faith. That is what his burden was. If we read 1 Peter, we see that. This different kind of life the faith can produce. That's what I was burdened. Lord, my prayer is, Lord, give us that faith by the end of this meeting or as we pursue following Jesus, if we receive this kind of life which was in Jesus Christ and which was in Paul, Peter, which produced certain kind of life, I hope we have all come here to pursue that kind of life. When we look at Brother Ian, Brother Zach, and the result of their life, there's a life produced through that kind of faith. A true faith. I call it true faith. So So what that does, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know, when Peter writes, grace and peace be multiplied to you, he really means it. We can just read a verse and go on. Am I experiencing that grace and peace through the week, through my circumstances, tough circumstances, temptations, difficulties, oppositions, misunderstandings? See, that is what Paul and Peter went through. And they looked at Jesus. Jesus had a certain kind of faith which he received from the Father. And he went through so many circumstances. But they saw that grace and peace in the life of Jesus. Especially Peter. He watched very closely. That's why he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, which will come as a result of this kind of true faith. The faith which was the same kind as ours. That's what I was thinking. So our prayer can be, Lord, please give us that faith which produces life, and that kind of life which will have grace and peace in our hearts through all the circumstances. Otherwise, what happens if everything is nice, I am nice. If something is not nice, I am not nice. I am not okay. Everything goes well, I am okay. Otherwise, I am not okay. But that is not the life, the kind of life which Jesus, Paul, Peter lived. And also, we have seen living examples in our midst also. And that's what I was thinking. And then it says in verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. See, this is talking to people who have received the same kind of faith. He is continuing saying, you received this kind of faith. See what kind of life it produces. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It produces life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Verse 4 says, by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. This is what our everyday struggle is. We have enemies, we have flesh, ourself, and the world, and Satan. And we have to live in this world. See, that makes us to think, Lord, how can I experience this grace and peace when I am living in this perverse generation? As we go forward, it will go bad to worse. There is no good day waiting for us in the world. But in Christ, we have hope. And hope that we will receive grace and peace in all circumstances. He will help us to walk in triumphant all the time. That's what we see in the life of these men of God. Over the years, we can see. That's why it is very important. The reason we come to have fellowship with each other is to see beyond the person the life of faith. I hope you come for that reason. Even myself, whenever I come for the meeting, I always check, Lord, am I going for the meeting because it's Sunday, or I have responsibility, I have to do this, do that, or meet with some nice people? No, I'm coming here to see and meet people and talk to them and see the faith which they have received from the Lord. That faith encourages me. That's why Jesus was so excited when he lived on this earth. Whenever he saw faith, he was so excited. Like Brother Charles was mentioning, the tune to the Spirit of Heaven. He came from heaven. Angels, everyone had faith. It's an atmosphere of faith. The faith produced praise and worship. See, that is what we have to get accustomed to. We have to receive a faith which immaterial what circumstances we go through. We read, see, if you read 1 Peter so carefully, it begins with verse 7, where he says, so that the proof of your faith be more being more precious than gold, which perishes through the through tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the thing is, he's talking about faith there again. And then he goes on, if you read carefully, so many things, practical things he mentions about home life, honoring authority, following Christ's examples, godly living, keeping fervent love, sharing the sufferings of Christ, and being humble, and home life, many things he mentions. There, at the end, he concludes saying that this is the true grace of God. 1 Peter 5:12. I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. We saw that in the beginning, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. He says, your faith is so precious. Your faith is precious. See, we all think in terms of earthly things. There are people who are rich, who are poor, like that. But in the church of God, how God measures based on their faith. Not every kind of faith. The emphasis is the faith of the same kind as ours, what Peter writes. That kind of faith, that it is a tested faith. God will test. See, if I say I have faith, God will test me in the circumstances. God will give me a circumstances. Like always, I remember when we read a verse, love your enemies, how God tests that. Then God has to give me an enemy. Without giving an enemy, God cannot test my faith, whether I love. So, like that, God will test. That's what the proof of your faith. So whether this is the true faith which Jesus had, whether this is the true faith which apostles had, and men of God over the time, men and women of God over the time had, is that the same faith or some other faith? See, that is what needs to be tested. I would like to read 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a wonderful book, wonderful letter, but precisely, I would like to read example of Jesus where Peter mentions chapter 2 verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose. You know, see, the first he said, your faith is the test. Faith need to be tested. But here he's saying, you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. See, I was talking about the reason we come to have fellowship. We can listen to the messages. Yeah, in the messages also, we can. Our main goal is to see the steps of Jesus. Faith which comes through Jesus Christ. That's what we are trying to see, not all the informations. Even when I hear Brother Zach, I see beyond words. A faith of a man. A man who is faithful and his faith, how he received faith from the Lord and how the life of faith is produced. The grace in a person's life and family life, in the church life. And that gives me more faith, Lord. I see Jesus Christ here. I see the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith which was in Christ Jesus. And Lord, help me have that faith. So here he says, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Jesus has left a life. See, we have heard Brother Zach saying many times. See, Jesus could have, if he wanted to die for the sinners, he could have come as a grown-up man and could have lived a short while and died on the cross. But no, he was born as a baby to leave an example to us. Then what kind of example it is? His faith was tested. He had a tested faith. Then verse 22 says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threat, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. This has been a great challenge to me in my life. Because this is the life Jesus produced by the faith which he had received from his Father. That's what we must desire for. Lord, I want to have a faith which transforms my life. I want to have that kind of a faith. Because there are many kind of faith in the world. Say, promises will give you this and that. God will give you many things and make you happy, make your life comfortable. But it's not real. In reality, we have to go through. Paul writes that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How? What kind of persecution is that? See, we can always, when we think about persecution, I also used to think, oh, persecution means the lot of things. People come and oppose and put us in jail or whatever it is, opposes. But you know what, in my own life, biggest persecution, what I found was that oppression of sin, a sin which comes through self to drain my faith. So you know, the sin comes to oppress us and removes my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened. Many have fallen away from the Lord. In fact, as the lawlessness increases, Jesus said in Matthew 24, that many people's love will grow cold. And also he said, many elect will be lost. See, that is because the oppression of sin, not only, external persecution will be there or come, but internal persecution, the oppression of sin is more serious. That's what I have found. See, here, he did not revile. People persecuted him. He uttered no threat, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. This is the kind of faith Peter is talking about. Jesus had this faith that there is a God who judges righteously. He is a good father. I'll just commit to him. Because I can't defile myself by getting an argument with people. I cannot fight with people. But he had a faith that he kept entrusting everything to. See, whatever he can do to preserve his own heart, he could do. But rest beyond that, he entrusted everything to God who judges righteously. That is a kind of faith which produces life. So that's what I was thinking about. And also, faith, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2 says, in fact, verse 1 says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, and by it you may grow in respect to salvation. This is another thing, what faith can produce. Faith will produce love in me for the word of God. See, today we are so happy that we can read God's word and listen to God's word. You know, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. If we only listen to the message, if I only listen to the message, I heard a lot of informations. But if I go beyond that to hear Christ's loving voice, a voice to help me, correct me, see my own need, and then there I don't justify myself. I don't think I'm okay. I don't try to tell God I'm okay. But when I hear God, Christ's voice, my loving Savior's voice, that convicts me and helps me. See, then it will make me desire to hear His word more and more, so that in turn I grow in faith. This is the true faith. The true faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. See, Jesus said in one place, I think you don't have to turn. He told Pharisees, John 5, I think verse 39, you search scriptures so diligently. But that is also producing certain faith. But it all talks about me, but you are not willing to come to me. That's what Jesus said. And you know what happened ultimately? Despite of reading those scriptures so diligently, they got a faith to believe that Jesus was devil. And they killed Jesus. You know, this is what the danger is. See, what kind of faith we are receiving when we read God's word? Is it like a pure milk which softened my heart? Is it softening my heart? If I hear Christ's voice and the loving Father's voice, that will soften my heart. That will change my life. I won't be hard like Pharisees. Pharisees also read the word and they got some kind of a faith. Their heart became hard. But if we read, if we have a true faith, and if we receive true word of God, that will soften our heart and it will make us more humble. You know, Peter says a little later, the humble receives grace. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And when I am humble, I receive grace. If I receive grace, Romans 6:14, sin shall not master over me. The anger, frustration won't master over me. I am not disturbed by what people do, what people don't do. There is no expectation, nothing. That's what Jesus had. And Jesus could say that, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Even though he was killed, and greater than that was Stephen also received same kind of faith, which produced the same kind of life when people were stoning at him. This is the true faith. When people were stoning him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. His face was radiant. He looked at heaven. Jesus was standing to welcome him. You know what's the result? Paul's life was changed. Paul looked at, I believe that Paul looked at Stephen's, that young man's face. What is this? What kind of faith is that? I also have faith. I have faith to realize that these Christians are evil people. They are damaging the name of God. That kind of a false zeal I have. I also read the same Bible, but this man, he speaks scriptures from beginning to end. And the way he dies, what kind of faith is this? That was pricking his conscience. Ultimately, Acts 9, when he heard the voice of Jesus, his heart was melted. That is the kind of faith we must pursue, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, I can procure certain kind of faith with the scriptures. I can hit my wife or children or people come across. I can hit them hard and say, this. That's the danger we have. I receive the pure milk of God and the word of Christ which rests in my soul, it will soften my heart. It will make me more humble. Like, you know, Paul said, love of God constrains me. You know, he was so gripped by the love of God. Whatever he did, he faced persecution. Wherever he wanted to love people and share God's word, this kind of faith, this kind of life, he was not spared. He was persecuted so badly. But nothing stopped him because he was gripped by the love of God. That's what encourages even Peter. When we look at Peter's life, whatever he writes in the First Peter, see, honoring authority, it comes out of faith in God, that true faith. See, otherwise we'll be frustrated. Oh, people are doing wrong. My boss is wrong. My neighbor is wrong. So-and-so is wrong. If everything changes, I'll be happy. That kind of faith all of us have. Even unbelievers have that kind of faith. That is, everything changes, I'll be nice. But nothing changes. But still, I have that kind of respecting authority and living a godly life. That is possible through only through the faith which we can receive from the Lord. I would like to read one more verse. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, I was thinking about this verse 2. We heard that Paul was constrained, controlled by the love of God. That's how he lived. A faith which he received from the Lord was that it made him to fall in love with Jesus Christ. He just saw, he could see Jesus. Jesus, you gave everything because you loved. So I also want to have that kind of a faith. But here he expresses certain concern. So verse 2 says, "For I am zealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." See, pure virgin. The one who has true faith and true grace and peace, and who has love for the Lord. And nothing has defiled of this world and corruptions of the world, kept from the corruption of the world. That kind of a people he wanted to present. "But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus..." See, this is what I was thinking. See, the true faith which we receive from the Lord will help us to come to a loving a devotion or purity, pure relationship with the Lord. That's what we enjoy the most every day of life. Not this and that. So many things. Even our ministry, our responsibilities, this, many things. No, more than all that, you know, Paul's life was that he was occupied with Jesus Christ. He was in love with Jesus Christ. That's what this faith produced in him. But he was afraid that you people, you Corinthians, may be diverted to some other faith which can make you be attracted to another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Who is that another Jesus you are attracted to? You got, I don't know where you received this kind of faith that, oh, Jesus is like a genie. He gives you this. No, Jesus only said that you seek his kingdom and his righteousness. All that you need will be provided. Of course, Jesus said that, do not be anxious about anything. But what kind of Jesus you are attracted to that, you think that, oh, Jesus will do this, God will do this and that, all the earthly blessings, health and wealth. How you got attracted to this another Jesus? And or you receive a different spirit. That's also a different spirit. The spirit which was in Pharisees, which was in Paul before he was converted. There's a hardness has come into you. That's a different spirit. That means there's something wrong with the faith you received. There's some root problem there, and which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted. You bear this beautifully. That means you're tolerating this kind of faith and the gospel, different spirit, different Jesus. You are attracted to something else. That's what Paul was so afraid of, that You started getting attracted to certain kind of faith which is producing different kind of life. So that's what we need to be careful about. See, you know, true faith is a faith leads to Jerusalem. A Jerusalem is a picture of sacrifice, a place of sacrifice. You know, when we think about Jesus, it's a life of sacrifice. When we think about Paul, Peter, and many godly men, I have observed, as I said, Brother Zach and Brother Ian, you know, it's a life of sacrifice. Many elders I have met, many. See, you know that they are in Jerusalem. There is a spirit of sacrifice in them. Tremendous spirit of sacrifice. They don't hold back anything. They love the Lord totally and they love God's people totally. And there is no restraint in them. What is that another faith which we can receive and which can lead us to Babylon? You know, it talks about, I think, Revelation 18 talks about Babylon and Jerusalem. See, Babylon is a picture of business. What I get. We may think that, oh, we're not doing any business in the church. But see, you know, this desire to, desire for profit. I come to church, is there something I get out from here? How I can be benefited by coming here? Not that I'm drawn to Jesus. The reason for coming here is not Jesus. I want to be attracted to Jesus. I want to become like Jesus. More sacrificial, more loving. Not that. I desire some other benefit. If I desire some other benefit, that kind of faith will lead me to Babylon more and more. But if I desire a true faith, which was in Jesus Christ, which is in others, godly ones, then that will lead me, make me join to have fellowship with those who are in Jerusalem. No, true faith leads us to become disciples. You know, otherwise we'll become benefactors. Disciples are those who are in Jerusalem. So, you know, God is building. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Satan, the gates of Hades will not prevail over it. But on whom it is prevailing? Those who have a different kind of faith and are in Jerusalem, in Babylon, over their life, Satan's power is prevailing. But those who are in Jerusalem, humble, lowly, those who have received grace from God and they receive peace from God, if they remain among such people and seek fellowship with such people, the Satan cannot overpower them. Even Paul wrote, sin shall not master over you. And see, that should be our desire. When I come to church or anywhere I meet, even if I have to click on the net and want to listen to the message, I must have a desire, Lord, I want to see you more. I want to be gripped by you. That spirit of sacrifice, spirit of love for the Lord, that spirit of disciple, spirit of sacrifice, those things must attract me, not anything else. Even when I come here, my desire is to fellowship with those who have faith, this true faith. If I sense some kind of a different kind of faith of selfishness and pride, seeking for benefits, that should repel. I should repel from that kind of faith. I must desire to have fellowship with such kind of people. Well, I have seen over the years in CFC, like Zephaniah 3 says, I think 11, 12 says, that I will leave among them the lowly and humble and remove the proud from your midst. I'm seeing that. That's one of the proof that God is in our midst. God removes the proud ones and leaves those who desire for the faith of Jerusalem, the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what, brothers and sisters, that's very important. There is a series I was listening to, Brother Zach. Please, I'll encourage you to listen to that. A true faith, Brother Zach speaks about. He mentions that true faith leads to repentance, good conscience, obedience of faith, total dependence on God and endurance. That is what the true faith will lead us to. Otherwise, what happens? The false faith will lead us to another Jesus, another gospel. And one more area, what I see here is, just I'll conclude with this, the true faith leads me to find a shepherd for me. I would like to read a verse in Jeremiah chapter 3. The true faith leads me to a shepherd. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. It says here like this. Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am a master to you, and I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. The purpose God has for us is that we will come to Zion, a place in Jerusalem, as a true church where the true faith dwells. He says, I will pick one by one. That's what so excites me whenever I meet people here. We find somebody from here. The other day I was having fellowship with some brothers. I was so surprised to see that each brother from different place, different background, different language, and I was sitting together. I said, this is my family. We never knew each other, and we never dreamt that we would land up like this. We were all with our own relatives and enjoying in the world. But God picked us up one by one and gave that faith and gave more faith to us so that we will come and desire for this pure milk of the word, the true word. We desired. That's why you're all here. Otherwise, you would be in some other church, some other place where prosperity is preached, earthly prosperity is preached. But you have come here because God gave that desire and gave that faith, certain faith, true faith. And that has drawn you to come to this place. This is what happens. Then I will give you, verse 15, shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. This is very important, brothers and sisters. This is what I desire. I pray that, Lord, please help me. Lord, that my heart should not get hard where I go away from the authority where you want me to be under. That is the fear each one must have. See, when I think about my own life, it's a product. My life is a product of being with godly ones and godly shepherds. If you are not found godly shepherd with whom you can go and somebody who can speak the truth in love and guide you to Jesus Christ and focus you to Jesus Christ, you're missing something very serious. Here the word of God says that he will give you a shepherd. If you're not found a shepherd with whom you can relate to and you're not grown into confidence to have fellowship and receive corrections. See, nobody would like to give corrections, even myself, not corrections, even to advise. See, I have moved with many godly brothers here. They will not come after me to give me advice. No, not definitely. If I go after them and say, brother, I would like to know about this, then they will give advice. Maybe if I open up myself more and say, brother, I want to know truth about myself. I want to be saved in all the areas of my life. I want to experience what you are experiencing. I want to have that true faith which produces grace and peace in me. I want peace in my life, grace in my life, in my home life, how I live with my wife and children and my office. Brother, I want to learn that from you. I'll tell you one more thing. If you meet any godly brothers, see, if you spend time, get to know their life, you will know that how God has taken them through. Even I was so happy to hear many times from Brother Zach and Brother Ian. You know how God has taken them. It was not an easy path, but God has given them more grace and peace and given them more life in them. And also, I would like to turn to another verse. As I emphasized, the true faith will lead us to a Zion where we find a shepherd. Psalm 68, I would like to conclude with. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 6 says like this. 68, verse 6. God makes a home for the lonely. Verse 5 says, a father of the fatherless and judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. We're all prisoners, one or the other way. We have found deliverance, freedom, gradually, but we are still in many areas. We are prisoners, but the thing is, when we find a home, the shepherds will lead us little by little, and we will be freed. Only the rebellious dwell in the parched land. We should not have rebellious spirit. See, true faith leads us to submission. I have met many brothers over the years. Sometimes I have asked some, if you are not found a home, if you are not found a shepherd, maybe you have to think after so many years, maybe you need to go somewhere else and find. But it's very important that you find shepherd and home. That will nourish you and lead you. That is where you can blossom and grow. Blossoming is not by force. It's not a manufacture. The blossoming is natural. So blossoming happens. There are people, brothers, I know, sisters, I have observed, they have blossomed. It's so good to see that. Like Paul said, I water, Apollos planted, but God gives the growth. The blossoming comes from the Lord. That's very important. We must blossom. We must become more free in the Lord. That comes by true faith. So that is what I was thinking. And just I'll read one verse here. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. Well-known verse. How do I receive this faith? I want to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, faith is the gift of God. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it comes. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives me faith that something is wrong with me. I'm a sinner. That's a faith, first faith I receive. Then the Holy Spirit helped me to have more faith to turn to Christ and who died on the cross for me. And He will turn my eyes for His resurrection and turn my eyes to the Heavenly Father whom I have. See, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is where the faith, true faith, will produce. What kind of life it produces? Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the spirit of heaven to which we need to be tuned into. If that is not there, that means something is wrong. The faith we have received is not producing grace and peace. That's what I need to seek after every day. Because I have seen that faith in the scriptures, in Jesus, in Paul, in Peter, and many godly men like Brother Zach, Brother Ian, I have seen over the time, more than their message, their life has spoken to me. That's why many times Brother Zach says, just don't go by the message a person speaks on the internet. And have you seen his home life, family life, financial life? Have you seen grace and peace in the person? If you're not seen, you have to check. May the Lord help us.
Yes, we really want to praise God for the godly men He's given us as examples in our life. And I'm so grateful for what I heard today about the marks of true faith. Yeah, the Bible says very clearly that this journey that we go on is from faith to faith. And the gospel is the power of God to lead us from faith to faith. And the many things that I heard today, I was thinking of this verse that Brother John mentioned, Hebrews 13:7. Imitate their faith, it says. So, yeah, verse that we sang together. Imitate their faith. Consider those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the results of their conduct, to imitate their faith. And the next verse is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And from this we understand, as Brother John was saying, that it's the consistency. That we go a certain way. And it's on the basis of putting our complete trust in the Lord. In Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is the type or quality of faith that we have. It is the faith of which Jesus is the author. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is the faith I believe that Brother Zach has spoken of. And where he says that this is the good news, what God can do, what He did for Jesus, He'll do for you. What He did for Jesus, He did for me. He put the faith of the Son of God in me. And this is how I live. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what we heard today is that the Lord wants us to have that faith. What He did for Brother Zach, what He did for Brother Ian, He'll do for me. Make us godly men, we pray. Help us to go from faith to faith along this journey. Yeah, see, the eyes of our spiritual heart have to be opened. You know, when we say something like Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, somebody who has no revelation can say, that sounds very boring. Yeah? Jesus, same yesterday, today and forever. It's like the people in the desert, they were eating manna, you know, every day, yesterday, today. Seems like it will go on. But we know that that is not the Christian experience. And, you know, what really struck me is that this, it says, consider, you know, the result of their conduct. Or in the margin it says, the end of their life. It's a way of life. And every day Jesus comes to me as a fresh manna from heaven. And the godly man's life is exciting. We know that verse, Proverbs 14:14. I want to, you know, draw your attention to that. In the Living Bible it says, the godly man's life is exciting. There is a fullness of the riches of glory in Christ Jesus that He wants us to partake of. And every day, sufficient for my varying needs, I find that Jesus is sufficient. Yeah, that same verse says, you know, the backslider has his fill, gets sick of his ways. But the godly man's life is exciting. I think Sundays ago, Brother Ian was sharing from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, where it says, the righteous shall live by his faith. Yeah, and we can just quickly turn there. The righteous shall live by his faith. Because faith is a way of life. It is how we live. You know, when we look unto Jesus and live the way that He lived, seeking the will of God. And in Habakkuk, we can see that there's a contrast there between the righteous man who lives by his faith, and it says the proud, he's not satisfied. He goes all over the world searching, but he can't fill his emptiness. But a godly man's life is exciting. The backslider will have his fill of his own ways, but a godly man's life is exciting. Yeah, we look unto Jesus who's the same yesterday, today and forever. And he meets my need. And for every new exciting thing that comes into my life, the new trials that I face, the Lord is able to make us conquerors in each of these situations, in all these situations. And that is the faith that he wants to give us. That no matter what comes my way, I know that my Lord is sufficient for that. I was thinking about Jesus being the same yesterday, today and forever, and some of the marks that we heard today. We can just think about Jesus on the cross, you know. And some people just think about that. And Jesus died for me and that's it. But the good news is that Jesus was the same through his earthly life, and he is the same today, and he will be the same forever. And it's that way of life that he wants to give us. What did Jesus do on the cross? Firstly, he forgave others. Like we heard about Stephen, he forgave others. And today and forever, he's the same. And he wants to make us like that, saying, Father, forgive them. Then he gave the gospel. He gave the gospel to the hopeless. To a thief on the cross, he gave the gospel and welcomed him into the kingdom of God. And he's the same today and forever. And this is the faith he wants us to imitate. That we can encourage the weakest one and say, this is for you. This is for you. Come with me. Come the same journey that I am going. Yeah, then he took care of his family's needs. You know, he took care of his mother. He did that like while he was on the cross. God gave him perfect wisdom, you know, to provide for his mother. And he praised the Lord. And he thirsted for righteousness. There was a hunger and thirst for him, as we heard from Brother John, that I want to know more. Tell me how I'm doing. You know, because it says he thirsted to do everything that was in Scripture. And I'm just going over the words of Jesus on the cross, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And this is the faith he wants us to imitate. Yeah, and then he said it is finished. That's an accounting term. He was accountable. Jesus was accountable. And if we have the same faith that Jesus had, then we will be accountable. We will delight in being accountable. That I can say that I have done what I was supposed to do. And I'm eager all the time to say, Lord, how am I doing? How are things going? And I seek out godly brothers who can give me that insight and perspective. Yeah, and lastly, as we heard, constantly entrusting himself to the Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And this is just a snapshot. There is a depth of excitement and glory in following in the footsteps of this Jesus. And this is the faith that we want to imitate. This is the end of our life. Consider the end of their life, the goal of their life, the way of life that they lived, and imitate their faith. May God help us.
Luke chapter 8 verse 23. So this is where Jesus and disciples were traveling in a boat. 23, as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. He got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped. It became calm. And Jesus said to them, Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Jesus didn't ask, Where is your life jacket? Or what is the plan B? He said, Where is your faith? So maybe I was imagining the disciples, they were traveling in the boat. Maybe Peter says to John, Hey, you told me to take the boat now. I told you not to travel now. So that's how we are. When we see the wind, we started blaming each other. It's because of you. But Jesus is asking, where is your faith? And then Luke chapter 18, verse 6. And here Jesus is asking, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And he gives a parable of a prayer by a woman, a widow. Chapter 18, verse 2. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me my legal protection from my opponent. And then, you know the story, and Jesus concludes, saying, now, will not bring about justice, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? So here is a poor widow, helpless. A widow itself is a helpless picture we have. And on top of that, there is somebody who oppresses her, an enemy. And in verse 7 it says, his elect who cry to him day and night. So brothers and sisters, if we are elected by God, and if God put us in a situation where we need to cry day and night, what will be our response? Will we say, will we complain to God, Lord, why is this happening to me? But this is in God's will, this is according to God's will, that sometimes God can put us, God's elect, in a place where we need to cry to him day and night. And the promise is that God will bring about justice. And the faith, whenever we think about the faith, we may think about Samson or Elijah. But the New Testament, the faith is, the picture is like a mustard seed, something small, something which is very difficult to see. But a faith, as we heard, the faith will grow from faith to faith. And I want to end with this Romans chapter 4. Here we read about Abraham. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. It says, in hope against hope, he believed. Verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Brother John mentioned about faith. When everything going good, the faith will increase. But when everything is going down, our faith will go down. I struggled with this long time in my life. But I believe the Lord is leading us to a place where, here you look at Abraham. His circumstances is going down. But his faith is increasing. So here it says, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in giving glory to God. Brothers and sisters, we must give glory to God, not to devil. We should not become weak. But we should become strong in faith. This is God's will for us. As we heard, and then here it is said, he fully assured that, verse 7, what God has promised, he is able to perform. We do not need to doubt in God's ability to fulfill his promises. God said, I will make you, I'll bless you, and I'll make you a blessing. And he said, his plans for you, his plans for us is for welfare and not for calamity. When the situations tell us, okay, your future is ruined, you have no hope, what do we believe? Do we believe God's promise? Do we say amen to God? Or do we say amen to our own feeling? Or amen to our circumstances? We have a very narrow path. And one side it's all the circumstances pulling us, come down, come down. Our feelings call us another side, come down, come down. But the Lord says, come to me all those who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I have a plan for your life. I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. So let's be like Abraham, who did not waver in unbelief, but he said amen to God. He trusted in God's promises and he grew strong in faith. Maybe pray and conclude.